changes and announcements. Please place your phones or audio connection on mute until such a time as you're presenting or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first and be sure to speak clearly. Please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link and then dial back or click the web link posted on the agenda to rejoin the teleconference. Some meeting logistics. This meeting is held in compliance with Assembly Bill 361, which allows flexibility in Brown Act teleconferencing procedures as addressed by the board under Agenda Item 1E. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@innovationhigh.org. The public may also provide comments telephonically during the public comments section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. And as required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website. Agenda, opening items. I'll call the meeting of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School, regular board meeting, operated by Western Educational Corporation, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Tuesday, January 18th, 2022, at 2:30 p.m. to order. And we will start with the roll call and establish the quorum. Michael Adams is here. Claudette Beck?
Here.
Frank Bucasa?
Here.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Here.
We're all present and accounted for and do have a quorum for today's meeting. I'll ask Frank Lucas to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please, everyone else, please place your phones on mute.
Thank you, Michael. Please place your right hand on your heart. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Staff introductions. Corporate officers.
Thank you, President Adams. Good afternoon. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you.
Welcome to 2022. This is Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
Thank you. And school staff.
Good afternoon, everyone. Julie Fada, Area Superintendent.
Good afternoon, Lily Childs, Principal.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, this is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Thank you. And School Legal Counsel.
Good afternoon all, Bill Thompson, Legal Counsel.
Thank you, Bill. And advisors who are supporting agenda items or presenting today.
Good afternoon, this is Claudia Wall with LLAC.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
Thank you. And any other staff who wish to introduce themselves at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on at this time. We'll move on to item E. Adopt resolution continuing Board of Directors' authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. That's Mr. Martineau.
Good afternoon, President Adams and board members. In your board packets, you will find the resolution for continuing Board of Directors' authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. Assembly Bill 361 was signed by Governor Newsom on September 16, 2021, and allows boards to continue to meet remotely as determined by majority vote during states of emergency as long as the board makes required findings every 30 days that meeting in person would present imminent risks to the health and safety of attendees. It is recommended the board make the required findings by adopting the enclosed board resolution. Are there any questions?
Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve agenda item 1E.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve agenda item 1E.
Glad I'm back. Second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call. call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item F, I hear a motion to approve the agenda for the January 18, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve agenda item 1F.
Thank you.
Put it back, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item G, I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the December 13th, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve agenda item 1G.
Thank you.
Bye, Beck. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote, unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have 2 items on the consent agenda tonight. Number 1, the board will be asked to approve the disposal of discontinued obsolete technology equipment. And number 2, the board will be asked to approve the school accountability report card. Are there any board members who would like to pull either of the consent agenda items for further discussion? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Put it back. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
Passes with 4 yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda, by dialing the teleconference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. Time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? Hearing none, were there any written comments presented to the board prior to the meeting?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
Thank you, Shelley. Moving on to item 4, school reports and information. Item A, mid-year report on the 2021-2022 Local Control and Accountability Plan, the LCAP, and that's Julie Parra.
Good afternoon, President Adams and board members Lucasa, Beck, and Dr. Rathgeber. Happy New Year. Please reference pages 37 through 59 of your board packet. Last summer, several new funding sources were approved after local education agencies had finalized their LCAP for the 21-22 school year. To link accountability for the new funding to the LCAP process, AB 130 established a one-time requirement for a mid-year report to the LEA's governing board, the Charter School Board. The report must include the following: the supplement for the annual update for the 21-22 LCAP, all available mid-year outcome data related to metrics identified in the 21-22 LCAP, mid-year expenditure and implementation data on all actions identified in the 21-22 LCAP, additional 15% concentration grant, add-on funding to increase staffing and direct service to students, and 55% of more pupils who are low-income, English learners, and foster youth. One-time supplement to the annual update to 21-22 LCAP. When the Orange County Workforce Innovation High School adopted our LCAP and budget this past June 2021, the state budget was not complete. The adopted state budget included additional funds that were not anticipated by our district. The impact to our adopted budget overview for parents is as follows. There was an increase of $138,880 to the Supplement and Concentration Fund. The total projected revenue increased $116,685. The supplement for the annual update for the 2021 LCAP has five prompts, which I will be presenting to the board today. Orange County Workforce Innovation High School was able to engage its partners through the use of Google Meets and Zoom. Parents were notified in English and Spanish through L4L Connect email, text message, and telephone calls. A meeting will be held in February to share the 15% increase in LCAP funding, which is an additional $120,880 to support students. During the meeting, the increase in funding will be shared and feedback will be requested from parents to how the funds could be spent. Teachers and staff will be provided with the opportunity to provide their input in February. Additional funding sources will also be shared with our families and educational partners in February. The extended learning opportunities grant yield was shared on 4/20/2021. Educational partners present at the meeting were given an overview of the grant funding and the timelines and the description of the services are planned to be increased. At this time, feedback from the educational partners were elicited. We plan to share the Educator Effective Block Grant, EEBG, and the A through G grant funding at our partnership meetings in January 2022. Orange County Workforce Innovation High School serves a duplicated population over 55%. We plan on using the additional 15% in supplement and conservation funding to support our LCAP specifically to increase students' needs as identified as goals 1, 2, and 3. We're hoping to increase our staffing by hiring a student retention support, utilize a small group instructor in mathematics and science teaching supporting intervention needs in this area. The increases to these actions equal the amount of the additional funds and supplemental concentration allotment. Orange County Workforce Innovation High School did not receive one-time federal funds, nor did they receive funding for the Federal American Rescue Plan Act. The Orange County Workforce Innovation High School is actively implementing its local control and accountability plan. The mid-year report on page 45 of your board packet shows specifically how funds are being expended for each goal and every action in the LCAP. Goal 1, Action 1, there is an EL lead in place for English learners. Goal 1, Action 2, a math SGI is in place for a literacy teacher. Goal 1, Action 2, a science teacher is able to provide one-on-one intervention as necessary. Goal 1, Action 3, lead tutor is in place. Goal 3, Action 1, a student retention place is posted. And Lily's actually taking interviews for that. The safe return to school plan was reviewed and adopted by the Orange County Workforce Innovation High School twice annually or as state mandates necessitate and was revisited in December 2021. Various funding streams will be allocated to execute and maintain the plan, including monthly safety walks, professional development, community workshops, and additional intervention programs. The plan is reviewed and updated as necessary to meet state and local requirements. The EEBG, A through G grant, and the Extended Learning Opportunities grant are aligned to our local control accountability plan. The EEBG grant is linked with LCAP Goal 2, Action 2, regarding professional example. For example, we have secured both internal and external professional learning development. We have secured teachers, tutors, instructional coaches, counselors, and administrators each have professional learning designed to their expertise and capacity. The ELO is supporting LCAP Goal 1, Actions 2 and 3 with extended learning opportunities so that all students can reach their goal of earning diploma and create a post-secondary plan. The A through G grant aligns with LCAP Goal 2, Action 4 in supporting teacher efforts to meet the needs of unduplicated students and meet state standards. We did not receive the ESSR 3 funds, CARES Act, ARP Act, or CCRS Act fund. On page 4 of your board packet, all available mid-year outcome data related to more credits identified in 2021 LCAP as of LPs 1 through 5. We're working diligently on credit completion and additional staff group, small group instruction classes and reclassification rates. For the seniors, our counselor continues to meet with them individually and discuss the progress academically and post-secondary goals. As noted in the data, Deanna, can you go back to the... Yes. Okay, perfect. As noted in the data, our attendance rate is below the 85% expectation. We feel that hiring the student relations specialist will provide another layer of support for our teachers. Our non-completed rate has decreased to 2.8 from the year prior. The staff continues to solicit educational partners engagement and will be soliciting feedback through our annual surveys in February. Next slide. Orange County Workforce Innovation High School year-to-date spending information and implementation data for all actions included in the 21-22 LCAP may be found on page 45 and 49 of your board packet. As noted in the slide for Goal 1, increased academic progress, and Goal 2, college and career readiness have been implemented to key roles such as math small group instructor. We've been able to literacy and lead tutor into place to support our students. Additionally, a new counselor has been hired and has been in place the backfill open position with little disruption to the students' counseling departments to serve students. Standards-based curriculum and materials are adapted to meet the unique needs of our students. Next slide. For Goal 3, increase retention, and Goal 4, increase stakeholder engagement, Orange County Workforce Innovation has provided additional emotional and support services to students facilitated by a counselor and social worker. We're currently planning to hold our parent-teacher conferences and parent events in the spring. Next slide. The 2021 supplement is considered part of the 2022-23 LCAP for the purposes of adoption, review, and approval, and must be included in the LCAP as follows: the 22-23 budget overview for parents, the 21-22 supplement, the 22-23 LCAP, the action tables for 22-23 LCAP, the instructions for the LCAP template. The 2021 supplement will be submitted to the LEA's 22-23 LCAP as part of the review and approval process. As the 2021 supplement is part of the point in time report to the governing board and the LA, it will now not be revised prior to being included in 22-23 LCAP. Only the 21-22 supplement will be included as part of the 22-23 LCAP. The continuing impacts of COVID-19 pandemic, including the challenges of hiring staff, implementing health and safety protocols, and addressing learning acceleration needs due to the impacts of distance learning, has presented many challenges in the first half of the school year. Despite these challenges, Orange County Workforce Innovation High School is committed to implementing the LCAP to provide the necessary services to our students. We acknowledge and sincerely thank the hard work and dedication of our employees, the support of our parents, and the resilience of students to continue the mission. At this time, I'd like to ask the board for any input or questions they may have regarding the mid-year report on the 21-22 local control and accountability plan.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on the board?
Hi, Julie, this is Frank. Just a quick question for you. Of the four goals, the one thing that did catch my eye under goal number four, where we have increased stakeholder engagement, there's that question or survey that was posed to students, and the response there said that they felt 25% connected, which is this time period versus last time period, which was a significant drop from the 96% previously. Would you attribute that to distance learning and the challenges that COVID has brought, or what do you think is the real root of that drop in feeling connected from students?
Yes, great question. I would say it would absolutely be due to COVID because, you know, we'd had activities on campus. Right now, the socialization is very minimal at best because, you know, there's been an increase with Omicron. And looking at last school year, we didn't really have going on campus, you know. And so some of the things that we're considering is whether we do some virtual activities with students we could do some art stuff, you know, the paint by design type things, mm-hmm. whether we're saying some things like that. It's been super difficulty, and that's where, you know, of looking at how we can continue to support our students but being safe and in a comfortable environment for our students. So yeah, that's what I would attest the decrease in the student survey response.
Okay, thank you, Julie.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Thank you. Moving on to item D, academic data update. Julie Parra.
Yes, so please reference pages 61 through 65 in your board packet. At this time, I'd like to provide an update to the board for Orange County Workforce Innovation High School academic data. From the beginning of the school year through December 17th, 250 students, 66 students enrolled in OC Innovation completed the mathematics section at NWA. Of those 154, 60% tested at least once. Four students tested a second time. No average RIT were at the above medium, ninth grade, MAT RIT of 226. Although some individual students did not score at the above level, as evidenced by the number of students scored at the college and career indigo level, there was 10 students scoring very high and 2 students scoring very low on the math bin. These students may need some additional challenge enrichment and some additional support. 167 or 65% of the students tested at least once in NWA reading. No foster students tested at, during this time. While scores overall are not a bit of norms for grades 9 through 12, there are students who did very well on the NWA reading test, as evidenced by the number of students reaching the CCR indicator of 1,385. There were 34 students scoring very high and few students scoring very low in the reading RIT bin. Their utilization rate has fluctuated throughout this academic year, noted in the chart. Lily and the rest of the team are working diligently to support the students, providing necessary resources to re-engage our students. I'm proud to announce that 11% of our English learners were reclassified, and there was 9% increase from the year prior. And if you take a look at that, there was some changes regarding the reclassification rate. And so to see 11%, which is not, you know, of course, we wanted to see at 19, but it was a significant change within that. Currently, we have 45 students in senior status. Seniors are defined by students with 40 or fewer credits remaining to satisfy graduation requirements. Although our senior cohort dropout rate in 2021 academic year decreased to 2.3, our graduation decreased to 55.6, which was a substantial decrease from the previous year. For CAS, where it was the most viable option, we were required to administer the state summative assessments for ELA and mathematics. As noted in the data, 23% in math and 29% in ELA were able to be assessed. It was an exceptionally challenging year for us, and we hope that the surge of Omicron variant slows down to not further further already difficult year. And that it concludes my report on the academic data. Does anyone... any members of the board have any questions regarding the data I presented?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 5, public hearing. May I request a motion to open the public hearing?
Frank Lucas, I make a motion to open the public hearing.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. The board will now hold a public hearing to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the A through D completion improvement program plan. The public hearing is now open at 2:53 p.m. The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during this hearing. The board may extend this time upon majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation from Julie Parra.
Yes, thank you. Please refer to pages 67 and 71 of the board packet as we move through the public hearing. For the 21-22 fiscal year, the sum of $547,513,000 was appropriated for allocation by the State Superintendent of Public Instruction to establish the A through G Completion Improvement Grant Program. The A through G Completion Grant Program was established to provide additional supports to local educational agencies to help increase the number of California high school pupils, particularly unduplicated, who graduate from high school with A through G eligibility. Next slide. The A through G completion, the A through G completion improvement grant program consists of 3 different grants: the Access Grant, the Success, and A through G Learning Loss Mitigation Grant. The Access Grant will be allocated to local educational agencies having an overall A through G completion rate of less than 67%, and is $300 million is allocated. The Success Grant will be allocated to the success grant will be allocated to local educational agency having overall A through G completion of 67 or higher. The learning loss mitigation grant will be allocated on a per pupil basis to each LEA based on the LOA's number of unduplicated 9th through 12th grade pupils, 147,513,000. For all three, an LEA should receive a total allocation of no less than $75,000, which is pretty significant funding. Funds will be appropriated in an equal amount for every unduplicated pupil enrolled in grades 9 through 12, inclusive, and reported in the CalPADS of the 2020-21 fiscal year Fall 1 submission. The funds are available for expenditures or encumbrance through 25-26 fiscal year. Next slide. The funds for the A-G grants and A-G success grants shall be used for activities that directly support pupil access and successful completion of the A-G requirements. The following are eligible activities: providing teacher administrators and counselors with professional opportunities to improve the local educational A-G completion rate, developing comprehensive advising plans and pupil supports, including tutoring programs to improve the local educational agency's A-G completion rate, expanding access to coursework and other opportunities to satisfy A-G course requirements to all pupils, including but not necessarily limited to unduplicated students. These opportunities may include, but shall not be limited, course development, course review, incorporating A-G course requirements into the local education agency's graduation requirements, and new or expanded partnerships with other secondary or post-secondary educational institutions. Advanced placement and international baccalaureate fees for unduplicated students. The legislature encourages local educational agencies to direct A-G success grant funds towards people in danger of not achieving a grade of C or better in A-G courses. Next slide. The A-G learning loss mitigation grant shall be used to allow pupils who receive a grade of D, F, or fail in an A-G approved class in the spring semester of 2020 or the 2021 school year to retake those A-G courses. The method of offering pupils the opportunity to retake course shall be determined by the local educational agency. If sufficient funds are available after implementing course retake, a local education agency may also grant funds to offer credit recovery opportunities to all pupils and ensure pupils are able to graduate on time. Next slide. Orange County Workforce Innovation High School plans to increase or improve A-G completion through A-G through the following ways: provide access to pre-AP courses, expand current AP coursework, including course development and review, funds to cover AP exam fees, provide professional development for teachers, administrators, counselors to improve A-G completion rates, including AP-specific training and certification, develop comprehensive advising plans and other student supports, such as tutoring and course taking in college counseling services, provide AP classroom resources and training, and provide access to AP computer science course options. On the right, you can see how the measurement of data alignment corresponds with the programs and service offers. The A-G improvement completion grant will connect with the goals aligned by the state for the college and career indicator and the current LEA goals and plans. Based on the data from the California State Dashboard for the College and Career Indicator, Orange County Workforce Innovation has great potential to improve A-G completion rates through supports, services, and opportunities for students, particularly for unduplicated. All students, including foster youth, low-income students, and English learners, currently have access to A-G course approved by the University of California. The school will work to expand these opportunities as identified above and to communicate early with students on their potential for post-secondary plans. The school will improve the identification and planning supports for students to access the A-G coursework. Tutoring and academic supports will be provided along with group and individual academic courses and advisory. Next slide. The LEA plan requirements are that we develop a plan on or before April 1st, 2022, describing how the funds will receive under this section and will increase and improve unduplicated pupils to improve A-G eligibility, including information about the number of pupils identified for students to retake courses. The plan should include regarding how the plan and described services supplement and do not supplant those services identified in the school district's local control and accountability account. The county superintendent of schools local control and accountability plan or the charter school's local control and accountability plan and the local educational agency's learning recovery plan. In order to ensure community and stakeholder improvement, the plan should be discussed at a regular scheduled meeting by governing board or the school county board of education and governing board of the charter school, which we are doing now, and adopted as a subsequent regularly scheduled meeting. 8th of June improvement grant schedule will be available this month. Apportionment will be released in February 22. Orange County Workforce Innovation High School anticipates receiving 8th of June grant access, learning loss mitigation, and not the A through G success grant. Okay, so my apologies. Next slide, Dee. Okay, thank you. The LEA reporting requirements are the following. A grant recipient shall report on the superintendent on or before December 31st, 2023, and how they are measuring the impact the funds received under this section on their A through G completion rate, as identified with the plan and the outcomes based on their measurements. The CDE shall compile the information reported and submit a report to the legislation on or before April 30th, 2024, and shall update the board, state board, on the contents of the report and its regularly scheduled meeting of the state board. A grant recipient shall report to the superintendent on or before August 31st, 2026, on the final outcomes that measure the impact of the funds received under the section under A through G completion rate. I would like to take this opportunity to ask for any questions or comment the board may have on the A through G completion improvement grant.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Julie, this is Frank. I do have one question. So it sounds like if I'm understanding this correctly, there's a one-time funding for the grants that those monies have to be used by June 30th, 2026. Is there a minimum spend, a minimum amount that has to be spent per year? Do we know that?
I don't believe so, Frank. I believe it's you, and depending on how much, at minimum is $75,000. And so I think depending on the plan, so one example that we have is to train, in order to facilitate AP courses, you have to have trained teachers. And so utilizing that money to support those teachers and offering A through AP classes. But I would say it carries over, and we need to have, you know, all the expenditures by the 2026.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, the board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the A through G Completion Improvement Program Plan. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comment at this time? Hearing none, are there any members of the public who submitted written comment to the board?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
Thank you, Shelley. I will now request a motion to close the public hearing.
Frank Fucasa, I make a motion to close the public hearing.
Thank you.
Carter Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Fucasa?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rapkava?
Aye.
And that passes with 4 yes votes. The public hearing is now closed at 3:04 p.m. And it was on a vote of 4-0. Motion by Mr. Fucasa, seconded by Ms. Beck. And moving on to item 6, action items, item A. The board will be asked to approve the June 30th, 2021 annual audit report for the school, and that's Nita Shreepi. I guess it's Claudio.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, board. I would like you to refer to pages 73 through 112. That depicts the school's audit report. Financial audits are required annually and must be submitted to the school's authorizer, the state controller's office, and the California Department of Education. The audit report is required to be submitted by December 15th each year. However, for year 2020-2021 fiscal year, the deadline was extended to January 31st, 2022. So I will defer this item to Brian Hadley, who will present the school's audit report. Brian?
Good afternoon. My name is Brian Hadley, and I'm a partner in the CPA firm of Wilkinson Hadley King & Company. Excuse me. And we are the CPA firm that prepared the audit report for the year ended June 30, 2021 for Orange County Workforce Innovation High School. I want to go through just some of the financial highlights with you on the audit, and then at the end, if you have any questions or anything you'd like me to answer or go into more detail on, I'd be happy to do that. I don't have the board packet, and so when I refer to page numbers, I'm referring to the page numbers in the audit report that are at the bottom of the page on the audit report. And I can see on the screen that, you know, the first page that's up is the independent auditor's report. If it's possible, could you go back one page to the executive summary? This is something that we've never included in the audit report before, but it's an executive summary that was written by management, and it just gives management a chance to tell the reader of the financial statement some of the things that were happening at the charter school during the year. And so I'd invite you to read that at your leisure when you get a chance. My favorite thing is in the last paragraph where they said this included our very first drive-through graduation, where we safely celebrated our graduates' amazing accomplishment of earning their high school diploma during a pandemic. And I thought that was, yeah, I thought that was pretty good. But it is just it's just an executive summary, and it gives the management the chance to talk about some of the things that happened at the charter school during the year. If you go to the next page, which is page two, that's the independent auditor's report. And, you know, I've always said that's the most important page in the whole audit report, because you can have these numbers and everything, but if the auditor doesn't give a clean opinion, you know, the audit isn't really what you want. But I'm happy to tell you that you have an unmodified opinion, and that means that I can say that the financial statements fairly present the financial position of the school at June 30, 2021. That's the opinion that you want. And so I'd like to just congratulate all the staff that worked on the accounting and attendance and all those records records during the years, so that you were able, the school was able to get that unmodified opinion on their audit report. If you go next to page number four, this is the statement of financial position. And for a nonprofit entity, under the nonprofit rules, it's called a statement of financial position. You're probably more familiar if I use the term balance sheet, but under the nonprofit reporting requirements, it's called a statement of financial position. But that's a snapshot at June 30, 2021 of the assets and liabilities of the charter school. It's a snapshot. It's a moment in time, and it shows what you own. That would be your assets. Excuse me. And it shows what you owe, which would be your liabilities. And you can see, as was highlighted there, the total assets are $1,871,000. You know, the largest asset is the accounts receivable at June 30, 2021. And the biggest account receivable was, the accounts receivable are $1.5 million. And of that $1.5 million, $1.2 million was a receivable from the state of California for state aid, which is your largest revenue source. But you can see, you know, that those are the things that make up your assets and liabilities, what you own and what you owe. And if you go down to the last line from the bottom of the page, It says total net assets, and the number is 884,736. That number represents the amount of assets that you have that are in excess of the liabilities that you have. And so that, you know, that's a good number for a nonprofit charter school to have as total net assets. And as I said, this represents a moment in time at the end of the fiscal year. If you turn the page and go to page number 5, you'll see the statement of activities. And if it wasn't a nonprofit, you know, I'd refer to that as an income statement. Unlike the statement of financial position that we looked at previously, this shows the activity for an entire year, for the entire year ended June 30, 2021. And it shows the top half shows the revenue, and it's under the category revenue support and gains. And the bottom half shows expenses and losses, or the second category shows expenses and losses. And you can see that the major portion of your revenue comes from the local control funding formula, which includes state aid, the education protection account, and property taxes. And those three things account for 3.7 of your total $4.3 million of revenue. So the majority of it comes from the local control funding formula. If you go down a little bit and look under the category expenses and losses, you'll see that there's two things are lumped into two categories: program service expense and supporting services expense. And if you turn the page and go to page number 6, you can see a detail of what makes up those broad categories. Again, those broad categories are required by, that's the format that the AICPA wants the audit in. But those numbers, the program services, really consist of your educational program expenses, and the supporting services consist of management and general expenses. And you can look down, you know, page 6, the statement of functional expenses, and see what makes up your major expenses. If I turn the page and go to page number 7, and this is the statement of cash flows, and this is probably far more detailed than you want to get into to looking at. But this statement just shows the change in your cash from year to year. And if you follow it through, it will analyze the change in each of the balance sheet accounts. It will analyze how that affected your cash account at the end of the year to get the to show the change in cash from the beginning of your cash to end of your cash. But again, that schedule is a little more detailed than you probably want to get into. The remaining pages of the audit report, there's a lot of information in there, and you know they generally just support the numbers that we kind of already went over. There is a letter in there regarding the state compliance requirements. You know, in addition to the financial accounting, the state requires that we issue a letter on state compliance, and it lists there the things that we needed to test and you know, this year the state compliance was a little messed up because of COVID. It'll go back to normal next year. You won't have that. It'll look more normal next year, or more what you've seen in the past. Again, I've said this in the past when I presented the audit for the board, that I always look to see if there are any findings. There were no findings, and so you can see the type of report issued for it is an unmodified report, and there's no findings that need to be reported. And there are also no prior year findings that were not resolved. There were no prior year findings either. So there was nothing that needed to be resolved that was hanging over from a prior year. And so I hope that I gave just kind of a brief synopsis of what's in the audit report and the high points of it. And if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer those if you had any additional questions.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Hi, Brian. This is Frank Lucasa. Thank you for walking us through this audit. Appreciate that. And the results are good, obviously. I do have one question. If we could go back to page 4, under net assets, there's a line item that says undesignated. What does that represent? That's nearly $700K. What does that represent?
You're looking at
It's page 4 of the audit. Or page 79.
Oh, I'm sorry. $699,158.
Correct.
Yeah, so some of the revenue that you have is designated for specific things. For example, the easiest one is one of the lottery programs can only be spent on certain things, and so the part of the net assets that has not been earned would be designated as attributable to lottery expenditures that are going to be done in the future. And so when you come down and you calculate that total net assets column, the first thing that you do is part of the net assets relates to the undepreciated balance of fixed assets that are still on the books. And so if you look at that that line that says net investment in capital assets, right below where you were looking at, that part of the net assets needs to come out, needs to be designated as net investment in capital assets. And then if there's a balance of the net assets that is restricted, you have to figure out that amount next. And again, the easiest one to see that is for lottery, for the revenue that you get. That's one of the programs that can be used. And then the balance of the net assets is calculated and classified as undesignated. So it's just an overflow of the net assets that are not designated for other purposes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 6A.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6A.
Thank you.
Todd Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item B. The board will be asked to approve the auditing firm of Wilkinson Hadley Painting Company, LLP, to prepare the school's 2020 Form 990, return of organization exempt from income tax, and that is Claudio again, I believe.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon again. I would like to direct the board to pages 114 and 115. This is the engagement letter from Wilkinson Hadley King and Company to prepare the fiscal year ended June 30, 2021 federal return of organization exempt from income tax form 990, related federal statements and schedules, and the California exempt organization annual information return form 199 with related statements and schedules. This firm is listed on the California Department of Education website as an approved auditor, and all information from the school's annual audit report can be downloaded into the 990 form, which reduces human errors and expedites the process. The engagement letter details the overall 990 preparation process and the tax preparation fee. I would like to recommend the board approve Wilkinson Hadley King and Company LLP to prepare the school's 2020 990 tax returns. The cost of the service in the engagement letter is $13,000 per corporation, and the specific cost for the school will be allocated based on the school's ADA.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6B.
Frank Fucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6B.
Thank you.
Madam Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Fucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item 7, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you very much, President Adams. Yes, I'd like to thank Superintendent Julie Parker for the report that she provided us. It was long and it was in detail. Do appreciate that. I would like to take this time to thank the staff, our staff, the people that allow me to come here every week, it seems like every week now, but to see you folks constantly. And I start with Jerry Vincent, who's really been there all the way with this. Happy New Year, Jerry. Jeff Martineau, Shelley Sands, Deanna Atkinson, Vanessa Mendoza, and of course the LLAC staff that provides us with all this information. Thanks, guys. You worked so hard last year, and you're going to work so hard this year, but we're going to get it done. So thank you so much. I do appreciate that. Back to you, Mr. President.
Michael, I think you're still on mute.
Yeah, thank you. Ms. Vincent.
Yes, sir. Thank you, President Adams. I echo our CEO's sentiments back to you, and I'm so grateful to all of you board members for your consistent support for Area Superintendent Farah and the work that she's doing in service to the students. And as Jeff mentioned, the staff behind the scenes that put all of this together, all of this technology together, I'm so grateful for everything that you all do. Thank you.
Thank you. Any board members' observations and comments?
Yeah, this is David Rathgeber. I have, first off, I want to thank everybody for all the hard work that went into all these reports. I've had to do them for federal government stuff, and I know how difficult it can be. But I do have one question. It went by pretty quick, and I just caught it. On the letter for hiring of Wilkinson Hadley, it says preparation fee is $1,300, but I thought I heard $13,000 spoken. We need to clarify which that is and make sure it's correct in the letter.
Yes, the letter is correct. I said 1300 1,000 instead of 13.
Okay, maybe I heard wrong.
Apologize for that.
Okay, thank you.
That's correct. Okay.
Thank you. Any other observations and comments?
Claudia Beck, I just reiterate everything everyone said. And thank you, Julie. That was a great report. And it's always hard to go through all those, but you guys do so much. It's just amazing to me. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Frank Fucasa, I echo the same sentiments. Thank you, Julie Lee, and the rest of the staff for all that you do for schools and the students. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to item 8, closing items. The next regular board meeting will be February 8th, 2022 at 12 p.m. Please note your calendars, and I will hear a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Frank Fucasa, I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Madam Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Fucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes the 4 yes votes. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Great meeting.